Welcome to Yo Bro Games, 30s and still gaming. Hello, this is Death of You.
And Lord Natus.
And welcome to Yo Bro Games. This is our second podcast. We will be discussing a consumer electronics show that happened in Vegas last week. Lord Natus, how would you like to start?
Well, I'd like to start with, why don't you go ahead and do some of the console stuff that was there, and then I'll go ahead and we'll get some discussion going on with the Quad SLI.
Well, first, the Revolution and PS3 were a no-show during a consumer electronics show that surprised me as a big console gamer. I'm starting to get the feeling that when they talk about spring, they're talking about just having the first prototype out. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think that my opinion is that they're probably just waiting for E3 to coming out, and which would be in May. So I think that's what they're waiting for, to show their cards on the table then.
But it sure doesn't give us gamers a lot of time to prepare financially and making the decision on the system for us, does it, by making it so long to show us the final good?
Yeah, I agree with you with that, but there's also some people, like, for example, I feel that Xbox has definitely thrown a big brick in their window from the fact that they didn't get as many consoles out for the Christmas time, and now since it's already 2006, why spend the money right now? I'd go ahead and wait and see what Revolution has got to offer. I mean, patience is a virtue, and this is one time where Xbox, you know, Microsoft has really, you know, made it so that patience is going to be worthwhile. If they had all the consoles that they were saying they were going to have for launch, then this wouldn't be a problem.
Another big news in the console wars was the glass case that had the PS3 in it stated that this might still be a prototype, and the controller was not seen. This has given rumors that there will be a redesign, and I feel that there will be a redesign, sincerely, in the controller, because there's been so many complaints, except you're an old Batman fan that liked the boomerang.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny about that. I just want to say, I used to have on the original PlayStation, which some of you probably remember, it's an ASCI controller. And it was like a navy blue color. And actually, this new PlayStation 3 controller looks exactly like that used to. And to be honest with you, with a lot of hours of gaming and stuff, it was my favorite controller. And in my personal opinion, is I thought the controller was very classy looking to get out of the norm of the normal PlayStation controller.
So you think there might not be a change?
I think there's room to have both of them. The sleek design on that, I mean, that is aesthetically just a beautiful looking controller. Yeah, some people are calling it the boomerang, or, you know, Batman's Batarang or something like that. But, you know, everybody to each their own. But I give them credit for trying something else instead of just, you know, coloring the controller a little different.
Another thing that happened during the Consumer Electronics Show was the Gates discussing that there will be an hard HD DVD add-on to the Xbox 360, which scares me as a future PS3 owner, because I feel that this will give PlayStation the excuse to raise the price. The HD DVD is supposed to be a considerable price to be added onto the 360.
Yeah, my opinion on that is okay. Like, even if you spend $400 or $500, which I think that's what they're kind of thinking, that maybe PlayStation 3 is going to be about $500. But if you really look at it, you know, to get a hard drive, or I should say a high definition DVD player, Blu-ray or whatever, and you know, to have dual GPUs in the PlayStation 3 from NVIDIA. You know, hell, I mean, that would cost you $700-$800 anyway if you just buy a computer that had that, if not more. So, or it could go all the way up to $1,000. So I think, you know, to get a $1,000 machine for about $500, I'll call that a deal.
I think we would have had the possibility, though, if they didn't do this during the show, that they PlayStation would have been pressured to compare with the high-end 360 and what it came out at $399.
Yeah, but the other thing about that, with Microsoft and the Xbox 360, it's only got one GPU in it, which I believe is the R580 or 570, whatever that GPU is. And, you know, once you go onto NVIDIA and you're running two of those, you know, basically 7800 GTs or GTXs is what's going to be in this thing. I mean, they're expensive. I mean, those graphic cards right now, you buy them right now, they're at least $450 a pop.
The other news I'm hearing is Microsoft confidence in high-definition DVD is not that strong because Moore of Xbox, the Xbox marketing chief, has already discussed that there will be the possibility of a Blu-ray add-on to the Xbox 360. How do you feel about that?
My whole opinion is this is just a flashback from the old world of VHS and Beta. And I personally feel that, you know, a consumer, like I am a consumer, everyone's a consumer, but for me to have to make a decision if I watch my 20th Century Fox movies like Star Wars or Aliens, and then I have to go over and get another player that, you know, that plays certain other ones from Universal Studios, for an example, my best opinion on this is what Samsung is going to do. They are going to make a player that plays both of them. And that's another, you know, I think that they have to understand that the problem is just like Super Audio CD and DVD audio. Big clash, big fight, and guess what? Nobody's winning. I say make it one thing and agree with it and go with it. But if not, like Samsung is doing, like they already did with the Super Audio CD and DVD audio, put it all together as one, I don't care what I get.
Yeah, what I have found, though, is that they are very incompatible. It will be a very expensive player if to be able to play both. But I think at the beginning, a lot of people are going to look at that because, again, I agree with you. It is going to be a war, and we don't know who's going to win, and you don't want to be caught with something that you put into an antique museum.
Yep, I agree with you on that totally, like the Beta machines.
And I just wanted to mention that you Xbox 360 fans that have been wondering what Bill Gates' favorite game is on his 360. It is racing games, and Ballmer's favorite games are basketball.
Man, I never thought Bill Gates would be in racing.
How did you like his dance at the Consumer Electronics Show? They're really making a lot of fun of that on the news.
Well, the way I look at it, he's a billionaire, so it's like, you know, if he wants to take dance lessons, he's okay too. If not, that's okay too, because he's Bill Gates.
Yeah, when you got that kind of power, you could even pull your pants down, I guess.
Yeah, he could buy everybody off then. It doesn't matter.
The other thing that has been brought up is the PS3, one of the launch games being Unreal Tournament 2007, and on the message boards everyone's excited about it, but the little inside news is that it's actually going to be released first on PC.
Oh, you just hit a magical thing with Lord Natus. First of all, I saw the article in the PSM magazine stating that it's going to be a launch. And the guy from Epic Games, he basically says, whoa, where'd they get that information? Now, if it is a launch title, which I'm going to tell you right now, it's definitely going to PC first because you do not screw with the PC fan base and loyalty that you have with the tournaments and stuff that we do on the PC. I'm sorry, but a controller is no match compared to a mouse and keyboard. And, you know, Epic, they've been working hard with NVIDIA on this. And also, you know, what NVIDIA, by the way, is in the PlayStation 3 GPU area. But to me, you know, you cannot destroy the PC like that. The PC, us gamers will have it first, and then I see, like, you know, 3 to 4 months after it, I can definitely see it coming. Because the other thing, too, is, you know, we don't know when the PlayStation 3 is coming out, so how can it be a launch when you don't even know when it's coming out? PC, everybody's got them. We're waiting for UT2007. Bring it out, Epic. Come on, Clippy.
Yeah, do you feel that a lot of people, if it with PS3 possibly having the Blu-ray, an optional keyboard and mouse, will actually hook it to the computer screens and act as a computer?
Oh, I would say, you know, to me, it's like, well, let's use this for example, the Xbox 360. I've seen some mods for it already where it's already liquid cooled. I mean, basically what you got is a small tower. I mean, it's a good way of looking at it. I think that one of the best things I would say that Sony could do for the PlayStation 3, like the Xbox 360 has not done, is have the compatibility of the mouse and keyboard right from the start. We have to have that if you're going to have first-person shooters. Bottom, bare none, there's nothing better that works.
Yeah, the Consumer Electronics Show didn't have a lot of console stuff because with the PS3 and the Revolution not showing the wares. The other thing, the last thing that I had about console and gaming was Namco and Bandai will merge March 31st and become Namco Bandai Games of America. What did you think of that?
Well, I think when you look at, like, for example, BioWare and Pandemic Studios combining their ability and talent together, it's just basically having more games nowadays. They cost a lot of money, and there's a lot of code involved, way beyond what it was, and your game's got to look really nice or no one's going to play it. And, you know, the way I look at it is, combining studios is an excellent idea because it keeps you in business longer. And look at, for example, look how many studios have been closing the doors. One's has been around since the dawn of time. So I feel it's an excellent idea for them to cross genre like that.
So do you feel like the gaming studios are basically becoming movie studios where it costs so much to make a game that it makes companies go broke trying to make them, that it's better to merge and just have a less different selections of companies, but people with a lot more programmers and can put a lot more backing into a game?
Yeah, the other thing of it, also to keep in mind is it's basically these, like, let's use Trochia Games, for example, the ones who had some totally incredible RPGs and then had some floppers. But let's take a look at the last game that they made, which was Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines. Okay, they put a lot of money into it. They got the Valve source code. They were actually the first game to use that source code. And you know, they finished the game, and it didn't get the greatest reviews in the world, and it was buggy to a point. And nowadays, since that company is gone, the studio is gone, you got people building, you know, expansions for it on their own. So it's like, if you have a game, because of all the costs that you have in it, does not do very well, you're looking for trouble. And here is a perfect example of that also is Cyan Studios. Cyan Studios, as you know, was two brothers, the two Miller brothers who made Myst, the highest selling game of all time for years. And they brought out, I believe Rob Miller brought out, he put his money into a game called URU or Uru. And it was going to be online. They didn't get enough people to set it up. And that studio, after that, was financially stressed so much that they laid off the employees. but then was able to bring them back. So there's a perfect example. Who can have a 100% batting record? Nobody can, you know. But there's a perfect example right there with Cyan Studios.
Oh, I forgot to mention, I guess this would be my last thing. The Nintendo floor that was at the Consumer Electronics Show, I didn't hear much news about it. Got to see a little film of it. Basically, it was a floor, like a screen, that had a bridge that would come across, and you'd walk across it. If you hit the water, it would notice your footprints. It would also notice if you shed a shadow on it, so you could, there was fish and bugs, and if you put your hands around the fish, it would capture the fish. If you crushed your hands, it made the fish disappear, and there was bugs that you could catch too. Pretty amazing stuff. I feel that Nintendo is so creative. I was wondering what your thoughts were.
Oh, when you have Shigeru Miyamoto working for you, and that man is nothing but creativity. And I have to say, you know, Nintendo is more of a, you know, kiddish kind of company now. You know, we are growing up now, but there's some things that they are just totally excellent at. And look again, once a year, Game of the Year for last year, another Nintendo GameCube, Resident Evil 4.
Never hurts to be a kid at heart when you're gaming.
Oh, I agree with you. But, you know, I don't want to jump with Mario for the rest of my life sometimes, you know.
Well, I'm going to give the floor over to you and Lord Natus. Why don't you discuss the PC stuff you found?
Yeah, you know, the main thing I want to discuss today is definitely the Quad SLI. My personal opinion on the SLI is why? We're having problems with just running two graphic cards, but I'm going to just step back here for a second to let our listeners know exactly what I'm talking about in case they haven't seen it. What this is a tower that is between Dell and NVIDIA, which has four GPUs in it, or graphic cards, built inside the system. There is absolutely a special motherboard that you have to have, and it's running PCI Express, and obviously you need four slots for that. And basically, there's been a lot of talk about this SLI tower. Now, going forward now about my opinion, to me it's just a novelty thing. It kind of reminds me of the Victoria's Secret $1 million diamond bras that they have, or $5 million or $10 million. I don't even know what the price of them are. Because it's just, you know, some idiot will buy it, and then that's okay, because, you know, at least you have diamonds and it'll be worth something. But this right here, I would say you basically would buy this and put it in a glass tower and just wait till next year when two GPUs can outdo the four GPUs that it has in it. Going on another note is I'd like to just state about the reaction from other vendors that deal with NVIDIA. The partners lately, you know, for example, like with their GPUs, a couple of years ago, NVIDIA had a hard time with paper launches. In other words, they'll launch a card, but then you'd have to wait 4 to 6 months or three to six months to actually be able to buy the hardware. NVIDIA has been totally awesome this year and last year, I should say last year, for their job that they have done with the 7800 GTXs. And, you know, they've just been doing a great job, and then all of a sudden they do this to their vendors. And I'm not just talking about, like, BFG Tech, for example. I'm talking about, you know, like, people who are nothing but gaming franchises. For example, Falcon Northwest, Alienware, Voodoo, you know, these guys have always been there, and they've always had the latest and greatest. And myself, you know, Alienware is one of the best ever, and that's all I use. So they're a little bitter about this deal with Dell. You know, I don't really understand why they went with Dell, but there's some vendors that are upset about it, because now they can't say they had the latest and greatest, because Dell actually has it if it works. Now, the other thing I have to say is I can't figure out why they dealt with Dell. For example, Dell is pretty much using, Intel chips instead of AMDs. And the whole bottom line is basically the Intel is inferior. The top-of-line Intel is inferior compared to AMD. So basically, right from the start, you're getting a bottleneck computer. One vendor was stated as saying it's like putting lipstick on a pig. There's no reason to go with Intel for this. Any opinion on this, Step of you?
Yeah, I've always felt that the only thing with Intel that is beating AMD right now is in the notebook market for their chips lasting longer for battery life.
Well, once again, that's great for about battery life, but, for the gamers, you got to go AMD. I'm sorry, but you just have to. I mean, a medium-priced AMD 64 chip can beat almost a high-end chip of Intel. So that's got to tell you something right there. What's your opinion on that? What do you think about Quad SLI?
Yeah, I just feel like it's a little overkill at the moment. You know, it's like the what I've learned in the computer industry is a lot of times the hardware is way ahead of the software, and by the time it catches up, like you say, something else is already better out. And if it doesn't have any diamonds, then you have no bling bling coming back.
Yeah, you brought up a very valid point there. You know, it used to be back in, to me, one of the best gaming years for me was, for PC, was in 1999. And I remember this game called Nocturne that was coming out from Terminal Reality. And this is what switched me from consoles to PC, to be all honest with our listeners. What it was is that this game looked so cool and so creepy, you just couldn't do it on a console. And I remember looking at the specs for this game, and you had to have a computer, and this was one of them that you had to have over 96 megs of RAM and stuff like that. And I remember getting the game, and I had to go get some more memory, and then you had to have a really good graphic card at that time, which, by the way, was a Voodoo 3500. That gives you a flashback. But anyway, it used to be that the software would drive the hardware, and that's how it should be. It should be just hardware driving hardware, but it is lately. And for example, it's like there's some games that do really stress a computer, there's no doubt about it. You look at Fear, you look at Battlefield 2, you look at, but my opinion on Battlefield 2 is I don't think it would stress that much if it wasn't just on online gameplay. But, like Quake 4, for example, now they got these where you can run dual core. But, this year and next year, the dual cores will start being used. But once again, the hardware is out already, and now the studios and game makers are playing catch-up to the technology that they have right now. Agree with me, both of you?
Yes, I do agree with you on that. The only problem is a lot of companies now are looking at bottom line, so they're always pushing the new product out, hoping that we'll grab it and always get the newest stuff. That's the American way.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And once again, now the problem is, like for example, with ATI and NVIDIA, they are fighting for top dog position. And the only thing that really stresses these cards out to a point is a synthetic benchmark from FutureMark, the 3D Mark 2005. But, I mean, who really cares what you get on a 3D Mark? Obviously a lot of people, because that's the number one thing. So it's kind of interesting, that how much the hardware has went beyond the software. Not like it used to be. And the last thing that I had to state about on the Quad SLI is, how many are being made, and what is the price? Word on the street is that there's going to be 20 of these made, and it's going to run you, just for the tower now, $10,000. And my biggest concern about buying this product, or if I can call it a product, is, okay, you're going to buy from Dell. Okay, no offense to them, but they do a lot of, you know, they're not really like top-of-line gaming systems. They do have XPS, which are good, nice-looking systems, don't get me wrong, but it's not the hardcore gamer world. So what am I supposed to do after I spend $10,000 on a tower and I need customer service? Now, the word on the street about their customer service is there's no way they're going to be able to deal with this thing. So to me, it's really sad that they decided to go with Dell. I would have rather have it. I'm an Alienware fanatic, don't get me wrong, but I'd rather have it go to Alienware, Falcon Northwest, Voodoo PC, one of them guys instead of Dell, because I don't understand. Any opinion on this, Beth, of you?
Well, one thing about Dell, it has become one of the mainstream computers, and you watch a football game, you look at a computer magazine, you look at Sports Illustrated, and Dell is in your face all the time. So it is a name that's very strong to a lot of people, sincerely in business, and I think they're just trying to expand. Because, again, the bottom line, you're always having to come up with something new to keep that bottom line so the stock owners are happy.
Okay. I can understand that. Excuse me. Dell definitely has the word of mouth. I mean, there's no doubt about it, but so does Alienware, as far as I'm concerned. Well, last thing I have to talk about is, Depth of View, what's your opinion on the 30-inch LCD that Dell just came out with?
Well, if I get that in the new machine, I think I'll be bankrupt.
Yeah, I tell you what, I saw a picture of this 30-inch LCD, you know, and a guy snuck a picture. And what's really funny about what he said was, you know, I'm sorry the picture doesn't look the best in the world, but I had to sneak it because, you know, I didn't want a $7 ossifer come over and give me some problems. And this guy was like, you know, like close to it, you know, like he was going to like grab the mouse to move the cursor around, and his head looked like nothing compared to the size of this LCD. Now, to me, the price on it is actually not that bad. I think it's going for like $2,100, $2,200, which if you look last year, if you look at some of articles and stuff like that, a 30-inch, you know, to have that capabilities, which the resolution is really good, you know, it was about $3,031, you know, $3,200 last year. So to bring it out and be about $1,000 less than some other people, I think that's admirable for Dell. Some of my friends, they have the 24-inch LCD. And, you know, my opinion on them is, you know, yeah, you definitely get a lot of real estate, but I haven't really sat down enough to really see if I extremely really like them or not, because with me being into the first-person shooters or a Twitch frag or whatever, you know, basically to me it's like having the refresh rates really high is what's important to me. And right now I'm running a 22-inch, you know, monitor from NEC, and it's got, you know, 1600 by 1200, it's running 85 hertz. So it's like, you know, I'm very, very happy with it. But the real estate is really would be awesome for like games like Neverwinter Nights 2 and stuff like that. But once again, it goes back to the hardware is out more than the software, because a lot of the games, you have to get a little patch to have widescreen available on the games. So once again, the hardware is way beyond the software right now. What's your opinion on that, Beth of you?
Well, I feel that these bigger PC screens is going to be the future, because everyone someday is going to have a computer and their electronic components on one room, and I think it will be more like a computer display, an LCD display, so I see this as a good start. Did you happen to notice what kind of connections? I mean, does it have a way you can hook like a DVI and all that into it, or was it just mainly, you know, your normal regular plug?
You know, that's a really good question. I would assume that it's exactly like the 24-inch one, which, you know, it definitely has a DVI plug-in, and, I mean, that'd be no problem for either one, because basically if you don't have a DVI input, you can get the adapter to plug it in. I would definitely say it's DVI.
Well, with both the Xbox 360 and the PS3 having connections that you can hook a monitor and stuff, and, you know, and with this price range you're talking about, I just feel that someday, you know, your computer will be in the living room with everything else, and you'll just play on the screen. The only thing is having a comfortable way to sit on your couch and have your mouse and keyboard in front of you.
Yeah, no, that's very important. And I agree with you that, you know, basically the computers nowadays, they are becoming the home theaters. They are implementing them both together to save on cost. But for somebody like me who's roughly about 2 feet away from my monitor, I think a 30-inch monitor is going to be a little hard for me because my neck's going to be moving like crazy. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that. The other thing, too, is talking about monitors, too. I've had experiences where I've been with other people and we've all looked at the same monitor, and three people loved it and two people hated it. So I do agree with you when it comes to monitors, listeners, that be sure you look at the monitor first before you order it online. There's several times where it sounds good, but your eyes are different than everyone else's.
And I will also say, add on to that as well, is same thing with sound. We hear things different as well. So when you're looking for speakers for your home theater system or your PC system or just headphones, like, for example, the Zalman headphones, you know, some people love them. Actually, a lot of people love them, but there was a couple of people who hated them. And they, what they actually are is the 5.1 headphones, which brings back up a point about just headphones. A lot of people are going back to the headphones. A couple of years ago, you know, we were going with the Klipsch speakers, for example, the THX certified one. Everybody loved them. Everybody wanted them. Then everybody started complaining because all the bass thumping and stuff like that. So now everybody's going back to these top-of-the-line headphones so that, you know, you feel more involved in the game when you're playing. You know, basically definitely try what you have before you buy. You know, try before you buy. That's a good way of looking at it for anything when it comes to something that you're investing a lot of money into. Anything else you got to say there, Death of You?
That was about it for the Consumer Electronics Show. There was several disappointments in the console because I was very interested in seeing Revolutions and PS3's wares. Did you have anything else to add?
No, I think you hit everything, but I think they're just going to wait for the big show, which is in May, the E3. And, you know, I'm sure they have it all set up, but, you know, CES, that's for a lot of other things instead of just gaming. And I think that they're just waiting for the big E3 to really have a big bomb this year. So I think that after E3, I think when we start talking about E3, I think you and everybody else will be very happy what comes out of E3 this year.
Well, maybe they're going to do like the Apple, where Apple introduces something new and everyone's running to the Apple store because it's already there to buy.
That's true, too. Once again, maybe they're going to the point. You know, a lot of people get sick of hearing about paper launches. I know. I know I am. And it's like, you know, I wait for something, whether it's a game. And I don't care if you go ahead, need a little more time to perfect the game or something like that, that's no big deal. But, you know, if you're going to get all these, if you're going to have reviews on the system or graphic card or whatever it is, but you can't buy them, I think that's unfair to the consumer. I think that if somebody gets it and they're able to review it, I should be able to go and buy it. Agree?
Yeah, I totally agree. It should be a heck of an E3 for us console players and even PC players. I want to thank everyone for listening to our second podcast on January 15th, 2006. And then probably in a week or two, we'll have our next podcast, so look for it. Again, our website, YoBroGames, blogspot.com. That's blogspot.com. And Lord Natus, thanks for everything.
Thank you, Death of You.